creates the show that celebrates WWE. It's Gorilla Position.
Hello, you, and welcome to Gorilla Position. Thank you for hitting the download button on this, your pro wrestling slash sports entertainment podcast of pleasure. My name's James D'Lo, your host and your guide through the wonderful world of WWE. Thanks for tuning into this episode 307. We've done seven new episodes since we relaunched. Can you believe that? This is episode 307 of the biggest and best WWE podcast in the UK, the only show of its kind to be supported, endorsed, and promoted by WWE themselves. And we are coming to you live, not live, in a pre-recorded sense. We are coming to you from the grand old US of Stateside. Where are we, producer Ben? Glendale.
Phoenix, Arizona.
We are in the desert and it is hot. Well, it's sort of mid-hot. I'm in my shorts and flip-flops and I'm having a lovely time. Just had an enormous breakfast ahead of some big WWE talent interviews we're doing over the next couple of days. Very, very excited indeed. Now, I didn't know whether to tell the listeners who we were interviewing over the next few days. I mean, they're big names. They are big, big A-list WWE names. I'm very excited to have them across the GP socials and our YouTube channel. And of course, this here podcast over the next few days and weeks. So much good WWE GP content coming up from the US. There you go. Lovely theme tune. All done and dusted. So thank you for tuning into this WWE Superstar special. Our Friday episodes are doing very well. People are really enjoying the talent interviews that we're bringing. R-Truth was a particular highlight. We had Natty and Jinder Mahal last week. This week, WWE Hall of Famer Trish Stratus. She's actually in the UK, so we could have done it face-to-face, but we're in the US. She's in the UK. She's doing some spoken word tours, some fan meet and greets, autograph and photo sessions, that kind of thing. So I'm sure there'll be lots of fans in the UK looking forward to seeing the Hall of Famer Trish Stratus and getting their Stratus faction on. So, she was great to talk to. We're going to run in that interview any moment now. So we're off to SmackDown tonight. We are in a motel, Motel 6. It's not the finest establishment I've been in, but it's very nice. They've got a pool. They've got an outside pool, so we might have a dip later on. But we are staying just a few minutes down the road from the arena where SmackDown is tonight, and The Rock is going to be there. The Rock is going to be there. Is he going to accept Cody Rhodes's challenge? Is it going to be a simple one-on-one match night one at WrestleMania? Is he going to go, okay, you can face me, but you can only have Roman if you defeat me. If I defeat you, your match with Roman is off. If he's on the board of directors for TKO, which Dwayne The Rock Johnson officially is, then this could be intriguing. That could be a good way to go. So we're going to see how it plays out. Or is it going to be the tag team match? So many possibilities, so many creative possibilities as the road to WrestleMania continues. I might give Kev a call. I might see if he's available because he's been chuntering away on the GP WhatsApp group about something or other. So let's see if we can get him on the line. Is he going to pick up? I think he was ranting about CM Punk on the WhatsApp group, wasn't he? No change there then. Is he going to pick up? Come on, Kev. Nah, he's not going to pick up, is he? Good audio, this. Anyway, while we're waiting for Kevin, let's talk about our headline sponsors. Nah. Should we leave him a message? Okay, let's leave him a message.
Please leave your message after the tone. To re-record your message, key hash at any time.
Kev, we have given you a call. You were going to be live on Gorilla Position, our WWE Superstar Friday special with Trish Stratus, and you were going to be part of my intro. I wanted to talk about everything you were chatting about on the WhatsApp group, but you haven't picked up, so Screw you, you're fired. There you go. Done. Yes, our headline sponsor, WWE 2K24. Thank you to the guys at 2K for making this partnership happen. The brand new video game is out next week. If you're listening to this when the podcast drops Friday, then the game is out next week. The deluxe edition with Rhea and Bianca Belair on the front and the 40 Years of WrestleMania edition, they both come out on Tuesday, the 5th of March. And then 3 days later, the standard edition with Cody Rhodes on the front, the future WWE heavyweight champion of the world. Undisputed universal champion, I should say. He's not going to go for the secondary belt. Come on. He is on the front of the standard edition cover, and that game comes out. It looks so good on March the 8th. Next week, it's all happening. And next week, we're going to 2K HQ to get our first hands-on experience with the game. The whole team should be down there. I'm hoping we can get as many of the GP boys down to 2K HQ. Oh, do you hear that train noise? We're officially in the US. I love that noise. It's so comforting. So yes, thank you to 2K. Go and check the game out. You can pre-order and you can buy it very soon using the link in the description of this podcast. Superb game. It looks incredible. Cannot wait to play it next week. So let's run in our interview with Trish Stratus. Really good to chat to her. She talks about her run, the work she did over the last 6 months, especially with Becky Lynch. We bring up that cage match at Payback, which I personally thought was Trish's best match of her career. Like everyone automatically goes to the first main event she did with Lita on Monday Night Raw all those years ago. What a standout moment that was. But in my opinion, the work she did with Becky Lynch, especially at Payback, that PLE was absolutely superb. So we talk about that. We talk about her run. We talk about what could possibly be next for her. We talk about how WWE is different nowadays. Lots of topics covered with Trish Stratus. So I'm going to roll that straight in, I think. SmackDown tonight. And then we're off to Palm Desert, California tomorrow for a live event. And we're conducting some interviews backstage there. And then Bakersfield, California, on Sunday, and then we're up to LA on Monday. So a jam-packed trip. Thank you to WWE for helping us organize these, and to 2K, of course, for making it all happen. Hope all you guys are well. Thank you for all the support. Continue with the support, please, at WWGP. Give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/@WWGP. And drop us an email. I really want to get more emails from the listeners. We absolutely love reading the emails out on the show. So drop us an email, hello@wwegp.co.uk. Right. That's it from me. I won't keep you any longer. I'm going to roll in the talent you're really here to listen to. WWE Hall of Famer Trish Stratus. This is a Starstruck Media production. We shall see you for lots of WWE chatter next week when we're back in London breaking down all the latest between Rock and Cody and everything else happening on the road to WrestleMania. See you Wednesday. I'm a champion. Trish Stratus, excuse me, WWE Hall of Famer Trish Stratus, welcome to Gorilla Position. How are you today?
I am great. Thank you for having me.
Good. Now, you're on your way over to the UK, is that right? You're coming over to Blighty. What are you doing over here?
I know. Look at this plane. It looks great. I'm on my way. Here I come.
That is business class there.
That is some serious business class. Yes, I am coming. Actually, I'll be there. I'll be there very shortly. I'll be there for the weekend. I start off in Manchester. I'm going to do some autograph signings just for the love of wrestling. I'll be meet and greets with all my fans. And then I'm going to pop over to Glasgow on Monday and then London on Tuesday to do some speaking engagements, get on stage and do some, you know, these events. Have you seen these events before? An intimate evening with Trish Stratus on stage. I'm really excited because I've never really shared my stories in the UK before on stage.
Nice. I believe that's with the Inside the Rope, guys. Great bunch of guys. Yeah. So you'll have a great time. So do you like it over here in the UK? I imagine you've been over here a few times with WWE in the past, right?
Yeah, no, I don't like it at all.
No, James. Horrible place. Yeah.
And that's what I want to come on and talk about is I really don't want to come over there. So what are we going to do? Maybe we could just do your podcast live to everybody. Listen, James, I love it. I love it. I love it. It's one of my favorite places to come. There's something, it starts from as a very busy mom, working mom. It starts from like the plane right over. It's quite relaxing for me. People are like, oh, gotta go all the way, across the pond, as they say. But it's like that start for me, it starts. I like get to decompress. I get to step away. There's no little ankle biters. I love my children. But it's nice to like step away for a moment, and I like to set the tone. And I swear, I always go in, I land. It's a day off when I usually when I land. So I get to like, I'll find a yoga studio. I'll just do something like really nice for me, which I don't do at home, So kind of like it sets an international tour off for me. And then my fans, my gosh, back from the days of wrestling in the UK and getting what was it? The big chant used to go, something up, Bristol's. Is this the thing? What is this? Bristol's? Bristol?
Bristol's, yes, that could be referring to a couple of things in particular, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's what there was a popular chant for me back in the day.
Okay.
But of course now it'll be thank you, Trish. Things have changed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I'm really excited. And every time I've gone over, of course for live events, and then since I've retired, I've gone back and done a number of, autograph signings. I was in Liverpool last year or 2 years ago. It's the reception's amazing. You guys like your satisfaction. What can I say?
Absolutely, we do. Absolutely, we do. And do you, I mean, it sounds like a really kind of stupid base question. Do you enjoy meeting the fans? But I ask that because, like, do you ever think about the future WWE superstars potentially who are meeting you? Like, there's the famous video of AJ Lee when she was a young girl as a teenager meeting Lita, I think it was. We've seen so many videos and images of Bayley when she was younger meeting the WWE superstars. Do you ever think I could be meeting the talents of tomorrow?
Oh, absolutely. And it's something that's really interesting because it wasn't like that before. There wasn't that before, so to know now at this point, 20 plus years later, since I began my career, back in the day it was just meeting fans. But now, yes, potentially we're meeting women who are looking at us and, what we've done in a greater scope, what we've achieved and what we've done for women and making it a male dominated sport, things like that. And now it's really cute because I'll meet, and it's like back in the day too, it was all my fan base. It was all guys in line, all the men came out to see me. And then we saw the shift, when we started to do stuff that really made an impact in the ring, when we saw, that we were doing stuff that was showing that, females could be athletic as well and do more than just the side piece stuff, and could deliver a match or be a viable part of the show. That's when we started to see a rise in the female demographic, a difference in the fans attending the autograph signings. And especially now, retiring, I've been retired for so many years now, going at these autograph signings, you get these little girls and they're crying and they're beside themselves and they're saying, I'm so inspired by you. I want to be a wrestler when I grow up. And that's an amazing thing to me. People often ask me, did you always know you wanted to become a wrestler? And I'm like, oh, absolutely not, because it wasn't an idea for me. It wasn't something I'd look at on TV and say, oh, that's something I could do or something I want to do, because it wasn't a visible thing for me. And I kind of always say, like, if you can see it, you can be it. And so I knew at some point in my career, seeing more women around and being impacted by the product, I knew that like it was up to us to really be a role model and live by example and showing what being passionate about what you do and following your dreams and hard work and what it means in an industry where you are not as visible, right? And we didn't have that visibility, and so I had to be the voice for that. We all kind of at that stage, the golden era girls, we knew it was important because we saw the difference in the females who came to see us. So yeah, so now, flash forward how many years later, now seeing it, and it's really, it's not a crazy thing to have a female or even a guy to say, I want to be a wrestler when I grow up. Before it wasn't that, it was a little small handful of people could do it in this world. But yeah, it's really great. And I feel very honored and special every time I do get to meet someone that I've influenced in a way that I didn't even realize I might have touched them in a certain way or influenced a certain part of their life. And now I get to hear the stories. And that's probably my favorite part is coming back and getting that one-on-one interaction, hearing the stories. And I love like coming to a place again, this is a picture from you when you were here in 2000 and whatever, so those are really special, and I feel blessed that I'm able to do these tours at this point and still get these wonderful interactions.
Nice. Now talk to me about your latest run with WWE, which, in my opinion, by the way, included your greatest ever match, the cage match with Becky at Payback. It was superb work. How do you look back on that period? Because it must have felt very different to your previous runs.
Yeah, very different. It's funny because I was just at a signing this weekend, and I get asked, "What's your favorite match?" And I have so many matches that are special for so many reasons, and I kind of go into a little blurb about it. But now I'm just like, cage match, like hands down my favorite, and for so many reasons, right? What it represented, the fact that I could go back this many years later and not only hang with, you know, the current crop, that sort of thing, but it was more about, you know, doing something that I was not able to do. The opportunity was not there for us females back in the day. So to be able to do something that I was not able to do was really special, you know, and then just able to pull off such a epic match, you know, generational face off with me and Becky Lynch, the best of this generation, the best of arguably I've heard of my generation. And it was, you know, very special. So yeah, that definitely going back. And it was nice to go back as just, you know, a mature performer, right? To approach things a little differently, to be challenged as a performer, do things that that I didn't get to do back in the day. Or also, don't forget, also things I did that back in the day, like nods. That was fun going back and sort of if you know moments, right, where I was like, if you guys remember this, with the mask and things that were just callbacks to my previous one. So that's a neat novelty to know that 20 years later I can go back and like call on stuff that people are like, oh my god, I remember that, you know. And then the new fans, and I'm seeing the new fans, you know, when I do these autograph signings, I'm seeing all these young fans, and it's so, I mean, I always had, you know, there was obviously, it changed up until 2006, but seeing the younger fans who are just like, like, I used to laugh when I'd see a young fan inside. I'd say, like, I'm like, I don't even know, you know, but they're like, oh, I watch you on YouTube and my dad's, you know, showed me your matches. And, but now they got to experience it, right? And I'm seeing this generational thing. I'm seeing a father come and say, I grew up watching you. Oh my God. And I'm seeing their daughter or their son with them saying, and now my son or my daughter got to watch you as they're growing up. And it was very special. And, you know, I feel so lucky that I got to do that run at all, you know, and that it turned into a 6-month run.
It was a great run, and I wanted to ask you about playing the heel role. Did you feel comfortable coming back and doing that? I would watch you week on week, and I could see your confidence growing on the mic each week. There was a hilarious moment when an arena full of people on Raw were chanting "Shut the F up," and you said, "I think you're saying thank you, Trish," which really made me laugh. But how was that experience playing the heel?
Oh gosh, love it. I wanted to go back as a heel. I had gone back a number of times. I'd done the babyface thing. I just knew I wanted to, it was a special part of my career being a heel, like, you know, and it's funny. There's like a cool little hashtag. It's hashtag heel Trish that, like, you know, you don't hear hashtag heel rock. Like, it just was a really special time for me in my career that people really loved and loved to hate me, I guess you could say. Right. And I had gone back, you know, a number of times as a baby, and to go back, just, I said, if I'm going to go back and for a little bit of a run, I wanted to go back as a heel and just for me to be challenged as a performer and just see what I could do. You know, as, like I said, as a mature performer going back, knowing what I did and what I'd done before going back now, it was cool to sort of apply that. And, you know, I'd done some acting before. I'd done some stuff along the way, and I really felt, I really felt good in her shoes, you know. I felt comfortable, and it was, and again, it was that dynamic. We had to, Becky and I had been wanting to work together, and it wasn't working. She was a heel at the time when we talked about it, and I didn't really want to go back necessarily as a baby. And then when she got, you know, had that organic baby face turn when she went away and got injured, came back organically, was a baby face, we were like, this is the moment, you know. And so, and then, yeah, nice. We did it.
And how did coming back to WWE in 2023 compare with the company that you left all those years ago? Like, what are the differences now that you've personally seen backstage in this kind of, shall we call it, new era of WWE?
I would say there's more similarities than not similarities. You know, it's interesting because it's a giant machine, and it takes a number of facets in order for it to run. And, you know, they're all in place. And I just think over the years, different people are in different places, you know. But at the same point, I went back and ended up working with some of my, you know, Ryan was a writer that was there back in the day, and got to work. I got to work with him again. So he was familiar with me. We knew what we wanted to do out there. We, you know, we formulated a lot of storylines together. And knowing, like, you could bring your ideas to the office, and they were very open to them, which was nice. So yeah, it was pretty similar, to be honest. Obviously it's like, you know, same shit, different place, you know. but It was fun because this time, same sort of stuff, same dynamic, sort of same way of approaching business, but yet with a different crop of people. So different talent to mix it up with and different, you know, and different writers to work with as well. I work with a number of different writers as well. And that was fun to mix it up. And yeah, I mean, I got so lucky. I got to go back and work with Io Sky and Bailey and you know, Becky and Dakota. It's just, wow, you know, Raquel and Liv, you know, who would have thought that I'd ever go back? And especially watching them all starting to come up and gain traction, to who would have thought I'd go back and actually get to mix it up with them? So that was a lot of fun, and I think it was, you know, a treat for the fans as well to see.
And was it a bit of a challenge to sort of like, did you come back thinking that you would be relevant because you are this icon, you are Trish Stratus, you know, world famous in WWE? Or is that part of the challenge, kind of staying relevant within this new amazing crop of talents that you just mentioned there?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was. And this thing I was really like so conscious of, I guess, necessarily. I just knew it's always about, for me, it's about, you know, be so damn good that they can't ignore you. You know, that's kind of, that has been my MO when I was back in the day when they were ignoring me, not necessarily the fans, but my colleagues backstage were ignoring me. I was like, I gotta be so damn good that they cannot ignore me, you know? And so that was the same thing, is that if I knew if I delivered, you know, a great product, then they would connect with it, they'd resonate with it. But I mean, I am still to this day, whether it's autograph signings or anything, I go, oh, I hope people are gonna come. I hope they still like me. Do they remember me? And that's the thing with the WWE Universe, right? Like, just they do, and they come out all the time, and they're so supportive. And I've had, you know, 24 years of Stratosphere support. You know, they've come out to all my different things that I do. Canada's Got Talent, we definitely can see where the wrestling fans are in the Canada's Got Talent. I'm a judge on that, so see, you can definitely see them in the audience, you know. And yeah, and so and it was cool to see how much, you know, the old school fans or the nostalgic fans were out there supporting me, right? So they were definitely there. And like I said, with those callback moments, you know, it was a wink to all of them, like, hey, thanks for coming along on this ride, and now let's do it again. I know you guys love to hate me, let's do it, you know. So yeah, I feel very very happy to have that connection with the fans, which helped.
Yeah, nice. And was that the final run for Trish Stratus, or have you got more left in the tank? Like, finish your story is a big theme of WWE this year. It is the slogan for the new video game, WWE 2K24. If you could write your final chapter, how would that go? Or has it happened?
I don't know. It's a tough one. Like, since I left, retired in 2006, I always said, look, if I, number one, if I knew I could come back and do something fans would love, it could challenge me, and it would check some boxes, like, you know, elevating someone, working with some new talent, doing something, you know, that hasn't been done before, I would come back. And also the other very important thing, the box that had to be checked, was if, as long as I could give 100%, you know, I never wanted to come back and just be like, here's a cool 60, guys, enjoy, you know. I didn't want to watch. And if I watched my matches back and I was like, oh, moving slow, it's not happening, because you never know until you get back in the ring. Believe me, there was a moment where I'd watch and I was like, can I still do this? Because you can do your own practicing and you can do your own runs at home, but until you get in the ring and you do, you know, do it out there, it's a big different story. And so, you know, I was very satisfied with the way everything came about. And yeah, I could go. I mean, even like the cage match, I felt great after that. So I woke up thinking I would have felt like I got hit like a bus, but I didn't. It was surprising. I was like, what's happening? I mean,
Wow.
one bout. You know, definitely bruised up, that was for sure. But yeah. Yeah, so I've always said this. So I don't know. Feels like there's some unfinished business here and there. And there's some, you know, possibly, I just want to, if I say I'd go back, it needs to be for something really great. You know, it needs to be a really great story. I'm all about the story. I'm all about character forwarding. And so if it's a great story that we can put forth, it's something I certainly would approach. And I know that, you know, I do have enough gas in the tank, so that's good to go. I can check that box. It depends on what would be presented to me creatively. So.
So if the story was right, if you had to choose the opponent, the city, the venue, the match stipulation, and the event, what does that look like? What's that final match for Trish
Oh
Stratus?
my, James, you're asking me to book my own stuff right now.
Come on, book it with
Well,
me.
there's this thing about, like, what if you put it out there and then you can't, you know how sometimes you don't talk about things so you don't like jinx it?
Oh,
What if
don't
I
worry
jinx
about that.
it?
Don't worry about that.
Don't worry, it's fine. Don't worry, it's fine. Oh gosh. I don't know.
I
You
mean,
know,
Canada, right?
I mean, honestly, there's so many. I it, Look, I've had my fun in Canada, right? I've had my hometown fun in Canada for sure. Would I welcome another match in Toronto? Absolutely. For like perhaps the final one? Yeah. Is it another retire? Is another, you know, we had a retirement match. Is this a post-retirement retirement match? Maybe in Toronto. I mean, it is coming up. Toronto is coming up, right? Mm. You know, I mean, hey, could I become an eight-time champion? It's another thing to put on my, I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
Could happen.
You know, do I have an unfinished story with Zoe? I sure do. You know, so there's a lot of things. There's a lot of talent that I look at too, that I'm like, you know, they, I would love to get in the ring with, let's say Rhea Ripley, for example. You know, she's someone that, I love. So people, when they meet me, they're like, oh my God, you're so small. This is part of my, part of my thing, right? I'm just a little Trish Stratus, but you know, when we saw that match with Raquel, that's what I love. I love playing up to that, right? I love like being like, you know, playing against the big wrestler, and that's kind of fun for me. And, you know, so that was something me and Jazz had, or me and Victoria had. And, you know, so I think me and Rhea Ripley could be a very interesting story. So I'm just putting it out there. I don't know the answer, James. But it's funny when I meet fans, they're like, could you come back? You know what I always do? I turn it over to them. I go, who do you want to see me face? You know, so maybe we can ask your fans, your listeners.
You kept mentioning Rhea Ripley. Money in the Bank is happening in Toronto. This summer, I think it writes itself, Trish, to be honest. Very quickly, should Becky Lynch beat Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania? And are you looking forward to that match?
I am looking forward to that match. I think Becky, it's like, I think Becky needs the, she needs the win. I think she needs it for her. She needs to prove it to herself that, you know, cause she's a workhorse, man. She's been, I mean, believe me, because I was alongside her for half the year last year. She just goes and then you see, you know, she worked and she became NXT champion and she worked with NXT talent and did great things with them and for them. And so, you know, she worked with the older ladies, the younger ladies, and, you know, still comes out on top, you know, she's amazing. So, I think it's nice. I think people want to see Becky Lynch champ again. I know I do, but I don't want mommy to not be champ again. So it's a bit of a toss up, you know?
Exactly. It's so tough.
It's very tough. So I don't even know. I mean, I don't know. I guess we'll have to see if I'll watch closely, and then maybe that might determine some ideas I might have. Maybe that's what I'll do, is I'll wait to see what happens at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And then
we'll talk again, and we'll fantasy book your retirement match.
There we go. I love
very
it.
Very exciting. Well, even though you hate it, I hope you enjoy the UK and all the events you're doing over here and your fan interactions. Trish Stratus, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, James. Appreciate it.
Gorilla Position. I'm a champion.